Hello, everybody. With Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We are here live to address your questions and real-life issues by phone at 1-800-677-9377. If there's something you'd like to talk about, we'd like to talk about it with you, give us a call, toll-free, 1-800-677-9377. You know, the Word of God offers true freedom and life in Jesus Christ. We invite you to stay tuned and take part to learn how the basic gospel intersects with your life every day. Hear it, believe it, live it. It's basic gospel. Richard, I know you and Bob Christopher and the rest of the ministry staff join me in wishing everybody a very, very happy new year.
Yes, we do. And it's amazing. These years just keep rolling right on by, and you get to a new year like this, and there's all this hope, and you're looking forward to things that'll change and, you know, opportunities that are going to come up. And we tend to get, you know, that's good, but we tend to get wrapped up in behavior modification.
Right.
You know, I need to do this or I need to do that. You know, everybody wants to lose weight. I think the last thing I saw was at least 33% of all the New Year's resolutions involved weight and health issues. And you got to be so careful, because behavior modification might change something on the inside, on the outside, but it doesn't touch the inside.
Right.
Only the Holy Spirit can touch the inside of us and do something for us that we can't do for ourselves. Mm-hmm. That is to renew our minds.
Yeah.
And so I invite all of you who are listening to, you know, if you want to have a New Year's resolution, one that actually is going to matter, then ask the Lord to show you how to walk by faith. Mm-hmm. He will take you on a journey that is the most surprising, the most shocking, sometimes the hardest, but in all ways the most rewarding journey of your life.
Yeah.
As you learn to let go of all this stuff in the world that keeps trying to impinge upon your relationship with Jesus, and you hold on to him for dear life, and then you find out what life is all about. And it really is worth it. And there's no better time than the present. If you know, a New Year's resolution was necessary for you, then thank God for it, and take him at his word. Let him do what he's promised to do.
Absolutely. Well, let's go to the phones. 1-800-677-9377. Again, you found Basic Gospel. Richard Piper, Bob Davis with you. Again, we're going to go to Mount Vernon, New York, and talk to Oscar, listening on WMCA. Hi, Oscar. Thanks for holding, and welcome to the broadcast.
No, thank you. I don't understand the book of Genesis when it says, of all the beasts that God created, the serpent is the most cunning. Now, the serpent, the beast, what relationship does it have with the devil, the spirit? Did the devil take a form of a serpent when he deceived in the Garden of Eden? Or did God give him a physical body? He became a serpent?
I think what you have to take is the realization that particular chapter 3, mm-hmm. when the serpent is described, that has to be commentary on the part mm-hmm. of Moses. Moses is looking back. Obviously, he's spirit-led. He's being mm-hmm. taught how to write about the beginning of things. And the realization is that serpents in the Garden of Eden were something special. They must have been.
Yes.
And so it appears to me, and I can't be sure of this, but it appears to me mm-hmm. that Satan took the form of a serpent or took over a serpent. Maybe serpents had more innate intelligence or something, but that's speculation.
Right,
but
right.
Satan took over the spirit or took the form of a spirit or of the serpent and tempted Eve, and the rest is history. We do know that later in the Bible, Satan is described as that old serpent.
Right.
Satan, the devil. Mm-hmm. And so that analogy is made, and it's continued on through the Bible. On the other hand, I see on our screen here that the beast, mm-hmm. that's something different. The beast is introduced in Revelation, and the beast is an earthly power of some kind who has given all of its allegiance to Satan, and Satan has therefore empowered that beast to be able to do things politically and economically, militarily, that other organizations or people or groups of people can't do. And so in that case, Satan as the serpent, as the devil, has taken his considerable power, and he does have power, and focused it through an earthly organization in order to wreak havoc on the earth, to take over wherever he can, to rule, to be in power, and that sort of thing. And that's why, Revelation is such good news, is that, of course, Jesus and the Godhead knows all about this. They've already planned for it. He's going to speak it out of existence. We don't have to worry about that. We may see it in our lifetimes. We may not. But we know that Jesus is eternally king and completely victorious.
Oh, okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Oscar.
Thank you, Oscar. Okay, good to hear from you, as always. 1-800-677-9377. Plenty of time on the clock. Plenty of open lines. Want to hear from you. Again, 1-800-677-9377. Denver, Colorado, let's talk to Mike, who listens on KRKS. Hi, Mike. Welcome to Basic Gospel. You're on the air.
Hi, gentlemen.
Hi.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
So I came in the middle of three callers ago, and you were talking about hell. Mm-hmm. And I've just never been able to intellectually reconcile a loving creator making a creature and on the basis of that creature not making a verbal statement of confession or whatever, that they would then be punished for all of eternity and tormented. That doesn't really jibe with the concept of a loving creator. Why would God not just destroy that soul?
Well, you are getting at some of what I was talking about. It bears repeating, and it needs clarification. Whatever hell looks like, whatever this punishment is in the hands of God. God, who is perfectly loving and perfectly just. So when you say that, then you've got to take away all of this speculation that has grown up over the last 2,000 years about what hell looks like. And quite often, I mean, to my way of thinking, most people's descriptions of hell are more about me as a human, Richard, for example, getting to twist the screw, so to speak. You know, there's a lot of human retribution and frustration and anger and all of this that we want to take out on people. And so God's going to be our hammer. And that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that this punishment, whatever it looks like, whatever it is in reality, is in God's hands. The punishment of the wicked is not left to Satan. Okay, so that's one of the big things with hell. We think that Satan is in charge of hell. Nothing could be further from the truth. Satan is going to hell, whatever hell is. That puts God in charge of the punishment and of the judgment. So whatever God does is going to be perfectly loving and perfectly just. But we don't know what that is. We don't live in eternity. We live in time. And when we as saved people leave time and enter eternity, that is, when we die, we know that we're absent from the body and present with the Lord. That's what the Bible does say. So it would be safe to assume.
You don't believe in a bodily resurrection?
Yes, I do. What goes to God is our soul and spirit. We were created to be physical, corporeal beings, and we're all going to get new bodies, right? With the last trump, the dead in Christ are going to rise first, and then those of us who are alive and remain are going to be transformed. So everyone gets a new body. Mm-hmm. So it would seem fair if salvation and what happens at death is that we are absent from the body and present with the Lord, is that at death a lost person is absent from the body and not present with the Lord. So we can say that, but we don't know what it means. We'll have to wait for when Jesus comes back and the final judgment takes place, and whatever that lake of fire is and however long it lasts and whatever will be explained in a way that makes perfect sense to all of us. But I think it is absolutely essential for us to get out of our minds this idea that hell is this place where people get what they deserve by God. You know, that there's none of that. You know, all of us deserve to die, but anyone who accepts Jesus is given eternal life on the basis of what Jesus did. And I think if we put it in those terms, then we can have God judging people who have rejected him in spite of every opportunity to accept reality, and yet not have this sort of human torture kind of thing going on. Because there is judgment. I just don't know what it looks like and what its final the final thing is going to be, but God will make that clear when he needs to make it clear. And I'm willing to walk by faith in the fact that the God who loved me enough to save me is loving enough for those people who didn't accept him to do the most loving and just thing from his perspective for them or to them, however you want to look at it. But this idea that it's Dante's Inferno and this whole mythology thing that has grown up, that doesn't, it just isn't biblical. Let's put it that way.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks, Mike.
Thanks
for asking for some clarification.
Yes, indeed. Some time on the clock. Open lines 1-800-677-9377. Friends, we have something special for you. It's the book by Frank Viola called God's Favorite Place on Earth. It's available for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. And to make your gift and request your copy, go and call 1-800-727-2828. Speak with our operator. That's 1-800-727-2828. Or visit us online at basicgospel.net. You'll find a prominent link on the homepage. That's basicgospel.net for your copy of God's Favorite Place on Earth by Frank Viola for a gift of any amount. Richard, we received an email a couple of days ago that, you know, we talk about giving to the ministry and supporting the ministry and so forth, and we do that every day, unfortunately. We have to.
Sure.
We are a listener-supported broadcast. Mm-hmm. But I think there's Bob Christopher has explained it many, many times, the underlying reasons why we ask people to support this broadcast. We received this email, and I think there's probably no better way for our listeners to understand why it's important to support this ministry. This is from Frank in Modesto, California. He says, I was born again in 1993, and I started to attend a church where I was taught tithing, church meetings, fasting, and doing work. That was the only way to keep my salvation. I spent almost 7 years in that church before I finally realized I could not keep up with those requirements. Frustrated, I decided not to continue on with something that is impossible for me to accomplish. Very deep inside me, there was something saying, don't lose hope. You will have the answers you're looking for. Afraid of going back to church to obey the same rules and regulations, instead, I decided to take a different route. I opted for the airwaves. And what happened next? I was back in square one all over again, listening to the same rules and regulations. 3 years went by, but I never gave up. I kept changing from radio station to radio station at different times of the day. One day at 5 o'clock in California, I heard your broadcast for the first time. The program was about to start, and I said to myself, well, here's another legalistic preacher. Let's wait and see what he has to say. After about 10 minutes of listening, I started to cry. I knew this was no coincidence. God was answering all the questions that needed to be answered. Since that day, I have been listening to the broadcast and telling relatives and friends about this wonderful ministry and this amazing basic gospel. That's from Frank in Modesto, and I think that really, really underscores why we're on the air as a ministry. You know, we have the opportunity to share the gospel, the salvation gospel, with people, and we have people that call, and we're able to express, you know, to explain the gospel, and they come to faith and express that through prayer. But I think the real reason that God put this ministry in place is to minister truth and freedom and liberty in the Lord Jesus Christ. I think that's why we're here, and I think this email from Frank really underscores that fact.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely true. And Frank, thanks so much for writing that.
Yes,
I mean, it's touching, it's encouraging, it's you know, it's everything that we live for. You know,
right.
we're here
right.
Behind microphones and answering the telephone, and we don't get to see most of the people but people write to us or see us later and say thanks.
I've said many times, you know, the evidence of a changed life is really what fires me. It keeps me going.
And yes.
So there we
yes.
are.
And so, you know, we do this. Other ministries do this. You know, we're not the only people that teach the true gospel. Unfortunately, I think there are too few of us, but
right.
we're not the only ones by any means. God has got this covered. He knows exactly what he's doing. And the reason we ask for money is because it costs money
right.
to do what we do. And we're not embarrassed about that. But here's one of the differences. We are not going to put you under guilt. We have been blessed by God to learn about his love and grace and what it means to walk by faith. And if there's any aspect of what we know that can apply to your life, we are happy to share that with you. It serves us no purpose at all to start laying guilt trips on people. We
exactly.
present the need, and we let you and God figure it out
yeah.
what you should give or when you can give, how much you can give. It's all up to you between you and God. And we can say thank you because of the incredible generosity of so many of you. All year long. It wasn't just in December. I mean, we had a big need in December, and I think we're going to have some pretty good news to report by the end of the week. But what's important is that it's an every day, every month, every moment
ongoing.
Kind of thing,
yep.
just ongoing, that anyone who can share with us a little bit on a regular basis, that gift is so multiplied because of the power of radio and the number of people who hear, and then the number of people who hear from people who heard.
Right.
It just multiplies out there. And so we thank you for it. It's just an amazing thing.
And we thank Frank for very, very clearly
yes.
explaining why this ministry has meant so much in his life. So thanks, friends. And again, take advantage of the opportunity to make your gift and receive a copy of Frank Viola's book, God's Favorite Place on Earth. Call 1-800-727-2828 right now, if you can, 1-800-727-2828 to speak with our operator, or visit us online at basicgospel.net. Out to El Paso, let's talk to Ruben, listening on KELP. Hi, Ruben. Welcome to Basic Gospel. You're on the air.
Well, good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you?
Doing great. Thanks for your call. How can we help you today?
Well, I got a couple questions, if you'll allow.
Sure.
One is I've always wondered about, you know, in Hebrews 9:27, it says, as is appointed unto men once to die,
mm-hmm.
and after this the judgment. Well, what about Lazarus?
Yeah, what you know? About him?
I mean, well, he
died twice.
Right. I mean, was it not his appointed time? Or?
Well, yeah.
And there are others that were raised from the dead,
yes.
too.
Yes, yes. And you kind of have to look at it from the standpoint of what is God trying to demonstrate in the story of Lazarus or the widow of Nain's son, for example.
Right.
The little boy that was raised back to life by Elisha, I believe. I think that was Elijah. Anyway, somebody check me and let me know. That it's like God steps in at certain times and interrupts what would have been the case for his purposes. He's got a wider purpose in mind, and in the case of Lazarus, what needed to be learned by Mary and Martha and by us, by extension, is that Jesus is life. Whoever believes in him will never die. And he used the Lazarus example, the Lazarus resurrection, to demonstrate that. And yet, Lazarus died, and he died finally the second time. What we don't know, and I don't want to cause wild speculation, but the Bible tells us that there were those who were taken to heaven with Jesus, that the graves opened when he died, and people were raised from the dead when he died, and he came forth, and there's all kinds of things you could run amok with there, but it's clear that Jesus was so powerful, and in the Christ event, the death, burial, resurrection, was so powerful that it shook the world to its core, and I'm thinking world more than just, you know, the earth we live on, but clear into death itself was touched by what Jesus did. And so when I realize that the God we serve is this powerful, and if he chooses to interrupt what would have been the normal case for some of us, that's his call, and I'll let him do that. and then I can look at Hebrews and say, well, you know, it is true. There is this final moment in time for each of us, and it's appointed. We die once, and we face judgment. And in fact, that's good news, because there's no such thing as double jeopardy. We face judgment one time. And right. If we face it in Christ, then it's the best thing you've ever imagined. If we face it apart from Christ, then we're lost. But we only face it once. We're not going to be judged more than once. We're not going to have to face our sins again. I make a point of that because I used to believe that. I was kind of in a bad place in those days for obvious reasons. And so I try not to make too much of a statement about destined to die once and after that to face judgment and then say, well, what about? Because the what abouts are clearly miracles. And miracles are things that happen outside of the normal way of things. And so in the case of Lazarus and the widow of Nain and her son and other people throughout the Bible, God intervened for specific reasons, and I leave it at that.
Well, that makes sense. I mean, I can certainly understand that.
Okay.
Will you allow me one more?
Sure, real quickly.
We go back and forth, a friend of mine. He's Roman Catholic, and I tell him about the Scripture. You got to find in the Scripture. And he says, well, where in the Bible does it say that I have to find it there? You know, and that's his only question, he says. So, I mean, is there a verse that can say about, you know, the Word of God? And
well, you're kind of in a catch-22. If a person doesn't want to accept the Bible as their standard for truth, there's nothing you can do about that. Other than take him to Jesus. Jesus is pretty confrontive, and you don't have to do the confronting. Just taking somebody to Jesus and helping them start to think about who he is and what he accomplished and his legal demands on us. I mean, he owns us. He came and redeemed us. And if we would just allow him to finish that work in us, it's the most amazing thing in the world. But again, he won't force someone, and so neither can you. So stay in relationship with your friend, point him at Jesus, and let the Spirit do its work. If they're honestly seeking for truth, they're going to find it. He'll see to it.
I sure will. Thanks so much.
Sure enough, Reuben. Thank you.
God bless. Bye-bye.
Yeah, thanks, Reuben. Good to hear from you. Let's quickly go to New Orleans and talk to Ann, listening on WLNO. Ann, we're running short of time. Please pose your question very quickly for us.
Very quickly. Minister on the radio claims that a little boy baby does not have a soul. And I do believe a little boy baby has a soul. And I don't know your opinion.
Every human has a soul. And so aborted children, therefore, have souls. And those souls have to be in the hands of God. God is, again, perfectly loving, perfectly just, knows exactly the right thing to do with them. And I think it's a pretty safe bet that he has taken them to himself because of the whole issue of surrounding abortion. But thank you so much.
I believe that too. Thank you.
Thank you for your call.
Thank you so much. She did exactly as we asked. She posted a question
right there.
And we got it done. Well, thanks for joining us, everybody. I love it when our listeners participate.
Yes.
Hey, thanks for joining us for Basic Gospel today, everybody. We are here live most broadcast days to speak with you, to answer your Bible questions, and discuss any personal issues you may be facing. We hope you'll take advantage of this live broadcast and take part tomorrow by giving us a call. That's why we offer a live broadcast. We appreciate hearing from many of you in regard to our financial need as we ended 2013. You know, the need is still there, and now is not the time to shrink back. We need to keep listening, keep praying for this ministry, and supporting it financially to keep from slipping further behind. Keep in mind, too, that we have a copy of Frank Viola's book, God's Favorite Place on Earth, for your gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. Make your gift and request your copy. Call 1-800-727-2828 to speak with our operator. That's 1-800-727-2828. Or visit us online at basicgospel.net. You'll find a prominent link on the homepage. Again, that's at basicgospel.net for your copy of Frank Viola's book, God's Favorite Place on Earth. Now for Richard Pfeiffer, for Bob Christopher, and the Basic Gospel staff, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel. And again, Happy New Year, everybody.